On this Sunday night, in cold blood, a community mourns as the search in Ohio intensifies for the killer or killers of eight members of the same family. The victims now identified, but a motive still unclear. Panic at the prom, the terrifying moments as a gunman shows up and opens fire, wounding two before he's killed. Dangerous High, the potent painkiller causing more and more overdoses and deaths, were in one community hit hard. And farewell to a prince as his family says goodbye to the music legend. The tributes pour in from the music world and beyond. Nightly News begins now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Kate Snow.
Good evening. The crime is described as premeditated and well planned out. Late today, authorities in Ohio said they're still on the hunt for the person or persons responsible for killing eight members of one single family, execution style, early Friday. Most officials said while they were sleeping. And while there's no word on motive, the Ohio Attorney General did confirm today that marijuana operations were found at some of the crime scenes. Our Gabe Gutierrez is in Piketon, Ohio.
Tonight, the manhunt after a family massacre is intensifying. Officers in tactical gear swarming the crime scenes, looking for more evidence. With an offer of a $25,000 reward, tips are flooding into Ohio authorities, but still no arrest.
This was a pre-planned execution of eight individuals. It was a sophisticated operation. And those who carried it out were trying to do everything that they could do to hinder the investigation, and their prosecution.
Today, the state's attorney general confirmed that marijuana grow operations were found at three of the crime scenes, but investigators would not comment on a potential motive for the killings. They're offering protection to the Roden family, who they say was targeted.
I can tell you, if you are fearful, arm yourself. If you feel that you need to protect yourself or family, do so and contact the local law enforcement.
The victims now identified Dana Roden and her ex-husband, Christopher Roden Sr. Their children, Chris Jr., just 16 years old, Hannah, 22, and Clarence, 20. He went by Frankie. His fiancée, Hannah Gilly, also killed. So were Kenneth and Gary Roden. Eight lives cut short. Sheriff's deputies would soon find the eight relatives shot dead in four separate homes, miles apart. Hannah Roden's four-day-old baby found alive in her same room. Kenneth Roden discovered by his cousin.
I just found my cousin with a gunshot wound.
During Sunday services at the Union Hill Church, never has this community had so much to mourn.
Why? Who would do this?
Today, orange ribbons in Pike County honoring the victims as the community raise money for their funerals.
You just don't expect this kind of thing to happen in this small town like this. I mean, it's tragic.
Sheriff's deputies here are calling the killings methodical. More than 100 investigators are now working this case, and autopsies are scheduled to be finished tomorrow.
Gabe Gutierrez out in Ohio, thank you. Moments of panic last night at a senior prom in Wisconsin where a young man with a high-powered rifle opened fire, wounding two before he was killed. Morgan Radford has that report.
Tonight, an active investigation after an 18-year-old opened fire outside of a high school prom 85 miles north of Green Bay, Wisconsin. Police say Jacob Wagner, a former student at the Anago High School, was standing outside the school when he opened fire with a high-powered rifle as a group of students were leaving.
The subject shot at the four students that were together. Two of the subjects were hit.
An officer patrolling the parking lot immediately shot Wagner. He and both victims were rushed to a hospital.
I went out there. I was just going to kind of see what was happening, and all I see was just, you know, cop lights.
It just rained a bunch of shots. It was like a gunfight.
Wagner died 2 hours later. Dakota Mills, who graduated with Wagner last year, says he recently broke up with a girlfriend who attended the school.
It hurt, but he was getting better. He was on a great path going somewhere, and then something within him just went wrong.
He says Wagner, whose social media account included a photo of an air rifle, had a fascination with guns. Meanwhile, an outpouring of concern and confusion on social media. Craziest night of my life, shooting during prom at my high school.
We're going to continue on with and trying to find out, get to the bottom of why this happened.
Police are searching the shooter's home for clues, and while there is still no motive, they believe the victims, who have both been released from the hospital, were not targeted. Wisconsin's governor praised the officer's quick action, saying that it undoubtedly saved lives, a night meant for celebration that turned into panic at the prom. Morgan Radford, NBC News.
To the crisis in Syria now, a senior administration official confirms President Obama will announce tomorrow that 250 more U.S. troops will be sent to the region to support Syrian and Iraqi forces fighting ISIS. Also today, the president was in Germany and defended that country's decision to admit hundreds of thousands of refugees and migrants. Ron Allen is traveling with the president and has more.
Good evening, Kate. Well, there has been fierce opposition in the United States for admitting even a few thousand Syrian refugees. Nearly 1 million migrants have been resettled here in Germany. The German Chancellor Angela Merkel, who just returned from visiting camps along the edge of the war zone, has been politically pounded for opening Germany's doors. In the United States, Donald Trump made headlines when he called her policy, quote, insane. Well, today, President Obama took another swipe at Trump and defended Merkel.
She is on the right side of history on this. And for her to take on some very tough politics in order to express not just a humanitarian concern, but also a practical concern that in this globalized world, it is very difficult for us to simply build walls.
However, one major area of disagreement, the chancellor has also called for the creation of safe zones inside Syria to protect civilians and stop the exodus. President Obama has said no, saying such a move would require a large force of U.S. ground troops in harm's way. Still, the German leader is perhaps the president's most trusted ally here in Europe, a relationship repaired after extremely damaging revelations 3 years ago that U.S. spy agencies allegedly were listening in on the chancellor's telephone calls. Kate?
Ron Allen in Germany tonight. Thank you. 1 week after a devastating earthquake in Ecuador, the president of that country has declared 8 days of national mourning for the victims. The confirmed death toll now at 646, with another 130 people still missing. More than 26,000 are living in shelters. On Tuesday, 5 states in the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic will hold presidential primaries, and polling shows that frontrunners Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are leading in all those states. Though Bernie Sanders is vowing to press on, Chris Jansing reports that Hillary Clinton is increasingly focused on her other rival, targeting Donald Trump.
In front of a crowd of 7,000 enthusiastic supporters in Providence, Rhode Island, Bernie Sanders making a case for staying in the race for the Democratic nomination.
This campaign is doing well and will win. Because we are listening to ordinary people and not spending half my life with the billionaires trying to hustle campaign contributions.
Sanders, seemingly unfazed by Hillary Clinton's double-digit lead in the new NBC poll of Pennsylvania, part of a rough road ahead in all 5 states that vote Tuesday, and working overtime on 4 Sunday talk shows.
We are not writing our obituary. We're in this race to California.
Hello, Bridgeport!
Ignoring Sanders, a confident Hillary Clinton, taking on Trump instead at a rally late today in Connecticut.
Every time Donald Trump says one of the things he says, a lot of people are surprised or shocked.
Her campaign releasing a biting new web video aimed at Donald Trump's promise he can be more presidential.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
What do you think of Whataburger?
I said it's fine.
Knock the crap out of him, would you?
It's like to punch him in the face.
I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters.
That more presidential Trump, not ready to make an appearance late today in Maryland, saying he likes people better after he knocks them out of the race.
Right now, I don't like lying Ted Cruz. But you know what? In about 4 or 5 weeks from now, I think he's going to be one of my best friends. I mean, that's the way I work.
That's Ted Cruz, who, along with John Kasich and Bernie Sanders, is fighting the perception that the race is already over. A perception that some Yale students in New Haven tonight clearly aren't buying.
To make this happen.
And tonight here in New Haven, another huge crowd of thousands for Bernie Sanders. He says whoever wins on Tuesday, he plans to harness this kind of enthusiasm for progressive causes. Just this morning, his campaign team that to map out a big voter registration drive they say will help Democrats, whoever the nominee is. okay?
All right, Chris, can barely hear you over all that noise. Chris, thanks so much. As she reported, Pennsylvania is among the states holding primaries on Tuesday, and a group in Philadelphia is already looking ahead to the general election in November with a unique way of trying to encourage young African-American men to get out and vote in larger numbers. As our Jacob Soboroff found out, the focus of their efforts? Barbershops.
Woody, Jacob.
Hey, what's up?
Nice to meet you.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
So, this is you, Sharp Insight.
Yep.
Shaping a fresher tomorrow.
Yep.
With a grant from the Knight Foundation, Woody Beal wants to reverse a voter turnout trend he's not proud of.
Black women are a little more involved than black men.
Statistically speaking.
Statistically speaking.
Okay. In 2012, African-American women turned out at a rate 9% higher than African-American men. And that is what Woody wants to change. And so you had this idea to say the place to do that, the place to showcase it, when you get a haircut.
It's a barbershop.
At the barbershop. He wants to train 50 barbers to reach thousands of young African-American men in Philadelphia and eventually expand the program nationwide. So this is one of your spots. You train Leroy the barber.
Yep. Leroy's a good guy.
Leroy, big election coming up on Tuesday. Everybody paying attention?
Heck yeah. Yes.
So what's the idea behind getting everybody together and talk about politics in the barbershop?
Well, it's what we do. There are a lot of people with a lot of disparity, man, with the system itself. You know, they're voting, and some of them aren't voting for various reasons.
If I was in the chair instead of Dwayne, I don't know if you want to touch this. It could get a little nasty.
I could do that, baby.
what's your pitch to me to get out there on Tuesday, and especially in November?
Listen, you need to vote if you care about yourself, your family, your friends.
Preaching nonpartisan politics, the program is just getting started.
Politicians, they care and listen.
But it's already bringing the message to 40 Philly barbershops and customers like Trell Kelly, who think a little conversation could go a long way.
I don't know. I just think a lot of people are not aware, man. I think a lot of us is distracted. Like, we need better jobs. I mean, even better health care. I mean, even a better law enforcement system.
And you think part of that, being more aware, it can happen in a place like this?
It can happen in a place like this. Like I said, it always takes the right person to come in with the right perspective.
It's not going to happen in time for Tuesday's election, but the education taking place in these barbershops could very well change who shows up at the polls in November. Jacob Soboroff, NBC News, Philadelphia.
Still ahead on this Sunday night, there's a new epidemic of overdoses from a potent painkiller up to 50 times stronger than heroin. We've heard a lot about this country's heroin epidemic, and for years, heroin dealers have been using another, far more powerful drug to cut the heroin they sell. But now federal officials are expressing alarm that people are using that stronger drug, fentanyl, alone, leading to overdoses and deaths. Blake McCoy went to Ohio to find out more.
The jokester. He was the life of the party.
Evan Poitra was just 19 years old when his parents walked into his room in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and found him lying face down on his bed.
When I turned him over, he was already stiff, and his eyes were open. It'll be something I'll never get out of my head.
Evan's parents knew their son had been abusing marijuana and pain pills, but it was something else that killed Evan in July of 2014.
I've never heard of the drug before until they told us what it was when the officers came.
This is fentanyl, an opiate up to 50 times more powerful than heroin. Cheaper to make, more deadly, and now more in demand. It's become the focus of nationwide alerts from the CDC and DEA. Intended for a hospital setting to treat pain, fentanyl is increasingly being produced on the black market. And just this year, the CDC declared Ohio to be ground zero for fentanyl overdoses. The problem here in Cincinnati's Hamilton County is so bad, overdose deaths now outnumber car accident deaths and murders combined. Last year, the county reported 238 fentanyl-related deaths, a 153% increase from the year before. Newtown, Ohio Police Chief Tom Sinan is leading a drug task force to combat the sudden rise.
Often the drug dealers are one step ahead, and we got to try to catch up a little bit.
His detectives are finding fentanyl laced in heroin and given to unsuspecting users. Once hooked, users are increasingly seeking out fentanyl on its own.
Here's the thing about drug dealers that's unfortunate. They're very good at knowing their customer, and they're very good at marketing.
In Chicago, a recent spike in fentanyl overdoses has prompted a public health warning.
It's a time bomb. It's totally dangerous. And
patients really are playing with death if they're using it out of the hospital setting.
A fact Evan Poitras' parents know all too well.
It is the very worst thing that a parent can ever go through. You're not supposed to bury your children.
Blake McCoy, NBC News.
When we come back, flying across the Pacific without a drop of fuel. There's the view from above, an odd-looking plane with the wingspan of a 747. Only this plane flies without fuel. It's called Solar Impulse 2, and as the name suggests, it's powered only by the sun. After setting out from Hawaii on Thursday, it crossed the Pacific and landed south of San Francisco early this morning, the latest leg as it attempts to fly around the world, promoting clean technologies. A kind of space race was going on today. British astronaut Tim Peake ran a virtual course of a marathon aboard the International Space Station during the London Marathon, wearing a harness that held him onto a treadmill. And of course, hundreds of miles below, almost 40,000 runners were on the real road competing in the 26.2-mile race. And in case you're wondering, Tim Peake up in space, he completed that course in 3 hours, 35 minutes, and 21 seconds. Wow. And it's a vote in this election year with several names on the ballot. The names for those eaglets at the National Arboretum that pecked their way out of their eggs just a month ago. After thousands of names were submitted to the hashtag Name the Nestlings, well, they've been narrowed down to 5 sets, including Freedom and Liberty and Stars and Stripes. You'll have until midnight to pick your favorite pair of names on Facebook by going to Friends of the National Arboretum page. And up next, the little horse playing a big role, helping people get through some tough times. Finally tonight, we've all heard of therapy dogs that provide comfort to people going through tough times. Well, the concept is now also being applied to horses. Kristen Dahlgren has the story of one little horse named Honor.
Sometimes called 10-foot-tall cops, police horses are known for their stature. So you might think their newest recruit, well, comes up short.
He's not what we think of when we think police horse.
Yeah, he's very special a horse.
At just over 2 feet tall and 95 pounds, this is Honor. And yes, he is in a kitchen.
He'll learn how to walk inside buildings such as hospitals, libraries, police stations. He'll learn how to ride elevators.
Because Honor won't be chasing bad guys. He'll be helping the good ones.
You want to meet somebody special?
Yes.
On this day, he's with police in Middletown, New Jersey, as they visit children with special needs.
Good job. Yeah.
For little Mary, it's a dream come true.
I love him so much.
You love him so much.
You see a little mystical horse walk into their room. They light up, and it's all of a sudden a special day.
Honor is part of the East Coast chapter of the nonprofit Gentle Carousel. Therapy horses, working in honor of police officer Ken Tejan, who gave his life on 9/11. They've already helped survivors, family members, and first responders affected by tragedies like the Sandy Hook Elementary School and Charleston, South Carolina church shootings.
I think it brings back some innocence and maybe some understanding that there's good in humanity, and that's really what we're trying to do, is let people know we care.
A police recruit with a very special job.
Would it be undignified for the police officer if I gave him a hug?
No, he would love that.
And with that, there's no doubt what Honor lacks in size, he more than makes up for in heart.
There you go.
Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News, Middletown, New Jersey.
Love the hugs. That is NBC Nightly News for this Sunday night. Lester Holt will be in tomorrow. I'm Kate Snow reporting from New York, and I'll see you tomorrow on MSNBC from Baltimore. For all of us here at NBC News, have a great night.